Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of El Paso Primetime. This is Richard Dayu, President and CEO of the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce. And with me today is a very special guest, Mr. Rolando Pablos, who is the President and CEO of the Borderplex Regional Economic Alliance. Welcome.
Thank you, Richard. Nice to be here. Thank you, and thanks to UTEP for hosting.
Our pleasure to have you here. So, like we try to always do, this airs on Saturday afternoons at 1 o'clock. And so folks are usually listening to us while they're driving somewhere. So no pressure on you that you're the entertainment factor this afternoon for the next 30 minutes. But all kidding aside, I think a lot of folks would really enjoy learning a little bit about the organization, why its name, what you do. Just kind of fill us in.
Sure, absolutely. Hope not to put anyone to sleep while they're driving, but you know, I think the best way to explain what the Borderplex Alliance is, it's a binational organization that's in the business of bringing economic prosperity to the entire region. And by the region, we're talking about West Texas, Southern New Mexico, and Northern Chihuahua. So it's binational, it's tri-state, but I think we can all agree that we're one economy, we're interdependent as sub-regions. And so our job is to help create economic prosperity. And what that means is being able to improve the quality of life, our life in the community, by bringing more wealth creation, by elevating our living standards as a community as a whole. And the only way a community can do that is by working together, leveraging each other's assets as a region, and looking to bring new investment that will ultimately create quality jobs. And so that's what we do for a living. That's exactly what we're doing at the Borderplex Alliance. And, you know, we're very focused on doing it at the binational level.
Great. So expand a little bit for us. You were formed how many years ago?
So coincidentally, this week marks our third anniversary. It's been 3 years since we started.
Happy anniversary.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's been a great 3 years. You know, this organization was born out of a sentiment that, you know, the community needed to step up from an economic development perspective. The community leaders recognized that we needed to work as a region, not just as a city, but as a region in trying to attract new investment. And so the private sector came together. Leaders from the community came together to form this organization. At that time, I was a regulator. I was a commissioner at the Public Utility Commission. I was living in Austin with my family. And I was approached by the business community to come back home. I grew up here. I grew up in Juarez, El Paso. Went to Cathedral High School and left, and had been in San Antonio and the Austin area ever since. I was asked to come back, and they made me an offer I couldn't refuse. They offered me to come back and lead this effort, unprecedented effort, to help develop the economy in a way where the community hadn't been able to do it before, which was regionally. So being that I have a bilingual background, binational, bicultural, the leadership felt that I would be the right person to be able to bring this entire binational community together. Since then, we've had tremendous success. It was a difficult start only because the people, the business community, had been very frustrated by the lack of forward movement that they had seen at the time. And it was mostly as a result of the violence in Juarez and everything else that had been going on, the perception of violence in El Paso, and the inability to attract new investment. And so upon my arrival, I worked to put a great team together. And we got to work on a internal strategic plan that, you know, where my board gave me the freedom and flexibility to create the blueprint for this organization. And also we started working on a regional strategic plan, which is a broader roadmap that we're trying to build that will help us work together as a region towards some common goals.
So you keep referring to the elusive they. I know who they are. Right. Why don't you tell our audience who some of your board members are, who are some of those folks who are very active in recruiting you to El Paso?
What the most attractive thing was for me was the fact that this was truly going to be a regional board. And so, you know, when Woody Hunt and Paul Foster and Gary Carruthers from New Mexico State University approached
Governor Carruthers,
Dr. Carruthers, and now Chancellor Carruthers approached me with that concept, it was very attractive to me because it was the first time where you would really see a true binational regional approach to economic development. And if you look at our leadership, if you look at our board, we have individuals from throughout the region. As a matter of fact, yesterday we had a board meeting and we had it in Las Cruces. And what we do is we rotate our board meetings. So they're quarterly. So every time we go to Juarez, El Paso, or Las Cruces. And so they are community leaders who were early adopters of this concept of regionalism. They were the true believers, the visionaries, the individuals who felt that without a regional approach, we really would be spinning our wheels as a community as it relates to economic development. So we have great individuals from a good cross-section of the community. We have individuals from Ciudad Juarez. We have Miguel Fernandez from Ciudad Juarez, Pancho Uranga, Foxconn, and so on. Right now we have about 40 board members. 17 of them are in our executive committee, and they're really the ones who have given me that freedom to design not only the organization but the strategy that has led us to the great success that we've had and also build a great team. I have an excellent team that we put in place. The majority, actually everyone with the exception of one individual, were folks who grew up here, left, and came back. And so we know our community. We understand it. We love our community. But at the same time, we've been able to bring back our Rolodexes, I'm dating myself.
We all are.
We were able to bring back our network contacts, the skill sets that we've learned outside of here and apply them to this region.
Great. So conversing a little bit about some of the accomplishments that the Borderplex has either been the leader on or has been a contributor to some of the results that are starting to help make our economy go in the direction we all knew it could do, knew it was capable of, and want to see more of in our community. When I say our community, I mean our region, the whole collective area that you just spoke about. So just mention a few of the companies that are now in El Paso that were not here 3 years ago, because I think our audience will really appreciate the work that's being done.
Well, yeah, and we're very proud of our accomplishments, but they haven't been our accomplishments all by ourselves. I mean, one of the biggest successes that we've had is the ability to create relationships like we have with the chamber, with the greater chamber doing fantastic work. We've developed an excellent relationship with the city of El Paso, Mayor Leeser, the city of Las Cruces and the city of Ciudad Juarez and all the mayors involved. In collaboration with these individuals, particularly Mayor Leeser has really taken a leadership role in his job creation campaign, right? We've traveled dozens of times. I mean, I've lost track of the number of times that we've gone out to not only promote our region, but also to go say thank you to the companies that are already established here. And that hadn't happened in the past. We hadn't seen a concerted effort by the private sector and in this case, the city of El Paso going out and thanking companies for their investment, asking them how it is that we can help them expand, identifying areas of improvement with respect to their relations with the city government and the local community. So, in working that angle, promoting ourselves, touting our assets, and getting out there, we've been very successful in attracting companies. We brought in Prudential. That was an 18-month effort. A lot of people don't understand in economic development, it's a long process. It's a long process because not only are you having to educate the investor in what you have to offer, but also you're competing with other cities, other regions. And so the process is lengthy, but with Prudential, I think, what attracted Prudential to El Paso mostly was its people. you know, the military presence that we have here. And also, you know, the promise of being involved in the predominantly Hispanic community. Prudential is very keen on ensuring that their Hispanic marketing, that their Hispanic outreach, you know, is top of mind. And they're showing it by being in this predominantly Hispanic community.
You know, actually, there's a gentleman who's a vice president there, Dean Sanders, who's a longtime friend of mine because not very long ago, like 2 years ago, he was a green suitor, lieutenant colonel, and he actually served on the chamber's board in an advisory capacity only, representing the garrison command. So our relationship with Prudential is growing in a very positive way. But I'm glad you pointed out Prudential first for a specific reason. You touched on their commitment to the community, but touch on what their nationally and locally, what their commitment is to the military.
Right. So the chairman of Prudential has an objective, and that is to ensure that we engage the community, the military community, especially as these veterans are rolling out of service, right? What we had identified here at Fort Bliss was the fact that we had a tremendous amount of individuals rolling out of the military and leaving. They leave town. They go back to wherever they're from. And that was unfortunate because these individuals are very talented individuals, right? They're coming out of the military, trained.
Disciplined.
And all those great things that come with military service, yes. And so John Strangfeld, the chairman of Prudential, you know, wanted to do was to ensure that we work with the military to capture those veterans rolling off and keep them here in town. And so Prudential is very much committed to hiring veterans, to ensuring that the veterans that are rolling off have a place to land. The most telling part of this entire strategy and their commitment, Prudential's commitment to it, is the fact that they look forward to hiring military spouses, right? Military spouses, for those of you who don't know, have a very difficult time finding work in a community because they're rolling off every couple of years and they leave town. And most employers feel that, you know, investing in training a military spouse is not in their best interest. But Prudential, what they've done is they'll hand you a laptop. And if you're moving to Florida or Idaho, wherever you're going, you're still an employee and you can still work out of your home for Prudential doing the same things.
It's phenomenal. And you raise a very good point because it is imperative. Most employers, you and I are both employers. And while we want to be helpful, knowing up front that we're probably going to lose that employee just about the time, usually 2 years, where we've got them trained just right and they're now really contributing to the growth of the organization, they're gone. And so it is wonderful that Prudential is pursuing this. By the way, one of my future guests – and like in the next month or so, will be a young woman who is a dependent. She's the wife of a lieutenant colonel at Fort Bliss. Her name is Carla Miller, and she is the on-the-ground representative for the U.S. Chamber for a program that our chamber launched a couple of years ago with the U.S. Chamber called Hiring Our Heroes. So I'm not going to, you know, give away the whole story so folks will listen to her interview as well. But we're only one of five cities in the nation that the U.S. Chamber has made this commitment to for the Hiring Our Heroes program. And the tie to this is Prudential. There are three companies that have stepped up to participate in a pilot program that lasts 12 weeks long. It's training. So if Rolando Pablos is planning to discharge from the military and wants to stay here, he enrolls in this program. And they put you through this rigor for 12 weeks. And when you come out the other end, not only are you trained for the civilian workforce, but you've got a job. And Prudential's made a commitment already to hire them. So it's just a phenomenal program.
That's fantastic. You know, in economic development, one of the things that we always hone in on is making ourselves attractive in order to attract, right? And so when we go out and sell our community, sell our region to potential investors, they have some pretty key questions as to what this community has to offer. And trained workforce is certainly top of mind, right? Quality of life. You know, parents want to know that their schools quality schools available for their children, that their parks and their recreation opportunities available, places of worship. All those quality of life amenities are very important. They also look at the quality of place. Corporations want to know that we have affordable and reliable electricity, and we do here in town, that we have ample water supply, that we have great broadband. AT&T has done a great job in expanding its broadband base here in town. They want to look at the infrastructure. They want to look at air service, which is something that we've been struggling with. They want to know that, you know, there are nonstop flights to key markets so that, you know, their executives don't spend all day in an airplane. And we're working very hard with you, the chamber, with the city to try to find new opportunities for nonstop service. They want to know that there's good transportation, that we have good roads. Ted Houghton has done a great job as chairman of TxDOT in bringing dollars for our roads here. I mean, $2 billion worth of road construction from the state of Texas is just incredible. Public transportation, you know, companies want to know whether their employees are going to be able to get to work on time, right? And so public transportation is very important. Also, good government. They want to know that the government will be fair. The government will be transparent, that the regulation is something that is predictable. They want to know that they're dealing in an environment where the municipality has a pro-business mindset. And so these are all things that communities like ours, we have to ensure that we are focused on quality when we're trying to develop that, right? They also want to know about, you know, supplier base, small business, very important. You know, if I'm a company official and I want to move my operations to this region, I want to know that I'll have ample supplier base to draw from to be able to service my equipment, to be able to install whatever it is that I need installed or whatever it could be, right? Access to capital is very important. And, you know, whenever we talk to ADP, you know, ADP came on board, I don't know, 7 years ago, maybe, more or less.
That's about right.
Right. They first came here and they fell in love with El Paso. And they proved that last year by doubling their size. I mean, ADP has doubled down in El Paso. Now they've gone from, I think it's 1,200 employees to 2,400. They've doubled the size of their campus. And ADP is one of those companies that asked some pretty poignant questions about our community whenever they were trying to decide whether they would come here and also expand here. They wanted to know all those things I just mentioned. They want to know that we have a qualified workforce that they can draw from in order to be able to grow their business, right? They want to know that, you know, the electricity is going to be there when they need it and also water and whatever else that they utilize, right? So another company that we were able to attract here was Charles Schwab, you know, financial services. So with ADP and Charles Schwab and Prudential, you know, amongst others, we're beginning to create a financial services cluster for business support services. It's an elevated form of services that we really hadn't seen here in this community. And so this community is really developing an expertise in that, and we have a trained workforce that can support that.
Well, you mentioned ADP. Terry McGreen has been a longtime friend almost from the outset when he came to El Paso.
Great guy.
He is a phenomenal guy. He formerly chaired our Education Committee and Workforce Development and has made a significant commitment to this community. You talked about the questions that they asked and the necessity to try and convince their corporate leadership that this is the right place to expand and grow. And he was instrumental. They were looking at both another shop that he oversees, which is a long way from here, Augusta, Georgia. They were considering it for Augusta versus El Paso. And thanks to the work that you and the mayor and others did to convince them otherwise, now they've done this great expansion, which I think is going to be so significant for this community in the future. You know, we didn't talk about this much because it does fluctuate, but right now we are enjoying, as it were, just under 5% unemployment, which is the lowest, certainly in the 40, I hate to say how many years I've been here, I think, yeah, about 40 years. I've never seen it this low. And it is this collective effort, this collaborative effort that's finally starting to benefit this community, I think. Timing's everything. And, you know, we're finally, I hope, out of the recession, because we felt that just like everybody else did. But some of the work that you're doing with the Borderplex is helping to contribute to that. But let's talk a little bit about just one more example, because even though you and I were not directly involved in this, if you look at where ADP is located on the far northwest side by Trans Mountain and look at the exponential growth that's occurring around there and now centerpieced next to ADP, almost across the street, is the new tenant. They call it the Hospitals of Providence, the new West Side Teaching Hospital, which is partnered with Texas Tech, because that's – you just see things exploding over there as a result. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's these amenities, right? A hospital is a quality of life amenity, right? If I'm a CEO of a company and I'm looking at an area – I'm going to want to know that there's going to be medical care available for my executives, for my employees. And so, Tenet has done a tremendous job in providing services, health services for this community. I mean, and they're thinking regionally as well. And having that hospital right there on Trans Mountain is just going to detonate that whole area from an economic development perspective, because that's going to begin to attract services, service providers and retail and doctor's offices. And so we're beginning to see, you know, finally that west side taking off the way it should have taken off a long time ago.
It's funny you should say that, because I can still remember 10 years ago people saying to me, well, the only growth and the only direction we can go is east, right? And of course, you've seen phenomenal growth on the east side. But everyone pretty much gave up, except for the visionary thinkers, you know, that we know them all, Jerry Rubin, Woody Hunt, and others, Paul Foster, who are saying, no, we've got a lot more room to grow here. And you mentioned the regional approach with the hospital, of course, that also provides services to Las Cruces and folks in southern New Mexico. And then we just saw, of course, the Outlet Mall has done phenomenally. The leadership in that organization tell me that this particular outlet center that they have is doing better than any of their outlet centers anywhere in the country, and its growth has been more rapid than anywhere else. And now we have Jerry Rubin, River Oaks, just announced a couple of days ago this unbelievable 500,000-square-foot lifestyle center, right, on 65 acres. I think it's something like $200 million being invested. So that speaks to, you know, the folks who are in the development industry talk about, you don't go build stores until homes are built. And, of course, homes are being constructed. Seemingly every day we see a couple dozen more new homes going up on the west side. So all that feeds into that quality of life you talked about.
Absolutely. Rooftops are very important. And so job creation for us, bringing investment here, generates rooftops. Rooftop generate retail space and so on. And so it's a virtuous cycle, right?
It is.
One of the things, though, and I'll tell you, Richard, that we have not done well in the past is promote ourselves to the rest of the world.
I agree.
And, you know, that's something we're doing. You know, we're talking about building bridges not only to other parts of the United States and Mexico, but to the rest of the world. We have implemented a strategic plan for global affairs. We've been able to bring in sister cities, the World Affairs Council, the World Trade Center, and honorary consuls. Thus far, we've been successful in bringing in now we have an honorary consul to the country of France. We have a sister city relationship now with the city of Hadera in Israel. The World Affairs Council just had its first WorldQuest competition. We had 27 high school teams compete. Franklin Cougars came out on top, right? Is it the Cougars?
Yeah,
it is, right?
Yeah.
And then we had a team from Juarez, and then a team from Las Cruces placed third. And so it was truly a regional competition. World Affairs Council allows us to be able to develop those relationships abroad. You know, one thing you're talking about Trans Mountain, and I failed to mention it when I was talking about city government, I really do want to recognize the great work of Tommy Gonzalez. You know, Tommy Gonzalez, it seems that everybody's talking about the negatives, but Very few are really honing in on the positive things that he's brought to this community. You know, he's very keen on bringing in a resort to this community. We don't have a resort right now. And so, you know, we meet with Mayor Leeser and with Tommy Gonzalez on a regular basis. And I just want to say he's done a tremendous job for economic development. He gets it. He understands economic development. And so I look forward to working with Tommy for years to come to try to better this community. We've been working with Ciudad Juarez. We're working on an image campaign for Ciudad Juarez, trying to get Ciudad Juarez, that perception, that negative perception that's out there, just trying to throw it out the window and bring in, you know, some positive aspects to what it is really happening. And then for Southern New Mexico, we work very well with the folks out of Las Cruces and helping promote, you know, the region. Santa Teresa and all of these what I call, you know, suburbs of El Paso, you know, they're also very important to what we're trying to do. And, you know, we're interdependent. You know, we can't act independently. We have to work together. And so that's really been our party line. We've been trying to promote regionalism so that we can raise that standard of living for everyone and ultimately reach our goal of raising our economic you know, future.
Which, by the way, also brings into factor to your earlier comments. All this contributes to our tax base. Lo and behold, what's the one thing we all complain about? Our taxes, our property taxes. And so for those who are listening who are not familiar with how this whole concept works, the more companies who come to your community, the more tax base they add at a much higher level, which then spreads that burden across a much larger base, which benefits us all. And it becomes that cycle. Instead of it being a vicious cycle, it's a much more positive cycle where success breeds more success for the community. So we're down to like 2 minutes, I'm being told. Why don't you just provide us with perhaps some closing thoughts that you'd like to share with our audience?
Well, thanks, Rich. First of all, you know, thank you so much for everything you do for the community. The Chamber's doing a tremendous job, particularly with the military. And so I want to congratulate you for that. You know, we're working together to ensure that this region is promoted the way it should have been promoted a long time ago. We are very proud of what we have here. We have tremendous assets. We have a lot of challenges that we share with the other parts of the region that we can, you know, try to tackle together. But if we can leverage our common assets as a region, Las Cruces has a lot to offer. So does Juarez and El Paso. Everybody has a lot to offer. But we've allowed these political boundaries to be political faults and create barriers. And I just wish that the entire community could come together for the benefit of the entire region so that we can move forward together.
Well, we share your sentiments on this. So the last thing I will say is, first to you, thank you for taking the time out of your crazy day to come join me today and share your thoughts with our listening audience. And then lastly, to our own audience, I want to thank you all again for tuning in to our show. We hope you find El Paso Primetime of value to you, informative and useful. And we wish you a great rest of your Saturday. Thank you.